I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I got as far as Capitol Hill.
You're tuned to KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I have on the phone with me today Senator for Senate District 54, Carla Bigham. She is calling in today to give us a bit of a preview of the upcoming legislative session. Hello, Senator Bigham. How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you so much for having me, Mike. It's been a while.
It's been a long while. Usually when the sessions end in May or June, you guys get the rest of the year off to work with your constituents. Of course, right. 2020 was not a normal year in anyone's book. And right. We had a number of special sessions, mostly to hear about whether or not Governor Walz was going to extend his emergency powers. But coming out of all of that, very briefly, let's go over the bonding bill that came in October.
Yeah, I think the main points of the bonding bill, Mike, are that the money for the Highway 316 project was included, and there was money for City Hall for improvements there to the dome, which both have been a struggle for Representative Juergens and I to get across the finish line, and it happened in October. And I think that it just shows that, you know, working together can get a lot accomplished. And so, you know, the bonding bill is going to create jobs that are sorely needed right now. And it's something that was the main goal of 2020 when you look at a legislative goal. The bonding bill was our main objective. And coming into 2021 is a budget year. And I know we'll get into that in a second. But and then in November, due to the recklessness of the Senate Republican caucus, there was an outbreak of COVID. And so there wasn't much done in the special session there in November because people weren't really able to do much. And then in December, we passed a business assistance bill that put more money in for our hospitality industry, theater, gyms, and also extended unemployment for 13 weeks. Now, the good news, finally, I believe it was like the 30th, the president signed the bill that was passed in Washington, which I have to say, the idea of $600 going far for people in need is not acceptable. I would hope that they would pass something more substantial than that, especially when they rush through big corporate tax breaks at a faster rate. You know, we need to focus on the people, and the people are hurting right now. And so I'm hoping that once we get a new administration, that will be addressed, along with some assistance for state and local government, which was not included in that bill that the president signed. So the good news is the bill that was signed will allow us to not have to borrow ahead from the federal government to continue those unemployment benefits. It'll just go on to the federal government, which is helpful to those whose unemployment benefits were about to run out at the end of the year. It's good news, but it doesn't go far enough, in my opinion.
Sure. And we have the new session for the Minnesota legislature kicking up here pretty soon. As part of starting a new session, you get new committee assignments, and how are you going to be serving the residents of Minnesota on the committees this year?
Well, it looks a lot different, Mike. This year, I am the DFL lead. For the listeners, I'm a Democrat, and the Democrats do not have the majority in the Minnesota Senate. And so when you are the lead minority party member in a committee, you're called a lead. And so if you're in the majority, you're the chair, the head person of the majority party in that committee is the chair. And so I am the lead of civil law and data practices. I'm also a member of the Judiciary Committee, which handles the public safety side of things. And then, of course, near and dear to my heart, local government. So I'm on the local government committee as well. So vastly different than what I have spent the last three sessions doing. So I'm really looking forward to it. Local government, public safety is my jam. And it doesn't mean I'm going to obviously continue to hold environment, education, healthcare, top priorities. My expertise, are in these three areas, and I'm really, really excited for it. It's going to look a little different, and I know we'll talk about that probably later this week, but, we get, sworn in, on Tuesday the 5th, and so, at noon, and that's going to look a little different as well, but, the main point once we get sworn in and get the official committee assignments, the main objective for the session is the budget.
Right. Now, do you volunteer for those committees or are you just assigned randomly? How does that process work?
So you're, the majority party has a committee on committees in the Senate, and the House does this very differently. So in the Senate, there's a committee on committees, and that's established and set only by the majority party. So they deal with what the committees will look like, the number of members on the committee, and then the breakdown of the ratio of members on the committee, majority versus minority. And then that information is emailed and communicated over to our leader, who is Senator Susan Kent from Woodbury. And then there we have our own internal committee, and we are asked what our preferences are, and then based on seniority and expertise and preference, the committees are assigned.
Okay. And give us a brief timeline of what the session is going to look like once it gets going.
So in January, the governor has to present a budget to the legislature, and so that's a requirement. And then in early March, I know this sounds odd, the February forecast will be released. And that is what we will base all the budget and spending decisions on, is that number. You know, we obviously are in November, technically December, we received that we are going to have a positive budget balance of $635 million, dollars. And so in March, early March, we will get an update on that, and that's what we will use. And then, he gets a chance, to reassess after getting those numbers, and can submit supplemental budget, and then basically, you know, like make any changes and tweak and fine tune it. And then between March and May, ideally, the House and Senate are supposed to pass proposed budgets, go to conference committee and agree, and then send one budget, obviously different chapters, not one big bill, for the governor to sign. And so that process has been lost recently. It's really been done through leadership, and that's not acceptable, and it's not, and what I mean leadership, I mean the majority leader in the Senate, the Speaker of the House, and the governor. And obviously being somebody in the minority, that doesn't sit well with me. And I'm assuming if you asked Representative Juergens, he would say the same thing. It just doesn't sit well. We should go through the conference committee process and then have it be transparent. And I'm hoping that will be, so the end date for session is May 17th. And if we don't have a budget by then, we go into special sessions. And if we do not have a budget by July 1, we shut the state down.
Okay.
So, because there's no more money to pay.
Right. Because the budget had not been signed, therefore there's no way to appropriate and allot the funds to the various programs. One question
Correct.
That I also have during this whole process, and it's kind of a sideline thing, does the governor's emergency powers automatically end when session starts, or does the legislature have to end his powers at this point?
That's a good question, and I think it's a good time to kind of clarify a couple things. So the emergency, or the declaration, the peacetime declaration, is what allows him to do the executive orders. So if What technically the legislature votes on is removing that peacetime declaration, not the executive orders. I think
Right.
sometimes that's lost in translation. So, and it's, I know people are already glossing over because you're getting in the details and kind of explaining and you ain't gaining when you do that. But I just kind of for a technical side of it, and that peacetime declaration allows for a lot more than these executive orders. So we're back up there. At any point, the governor can remove any of the executive orders or release the peacetime agreement, or the legislature can vote to remove them, or what I ideally am hoping for, Mike, is that the legislature puts forth a plan. The governor cannot pass legislation. He needs the legislature to do it.
Right.
And they have not done it. And I'm not in the majority, Representative Juergens isn't in the majority, so it's even more difficult. But they're not even having hearings to look at how do we open up businesses in a safe manner for employees and customers. They're not taking testimony. They're not offering amendments. They're not allowing votes to be had. And you can't just expect the governor to do this all on his own. And he can't force them to do something. They would rather take pot shots and make political hay and partisan hay out of a situation that should not be. This is a time that we need to come together. And I have been saying that from the beginning, that a pandemic is not a time to do that. So when we get back, I'm hoping that we can take a look at additional resources for working folks. I was very disappointed that daycare assistance was not included, child care assistance was not included in the December bill. There was, things that we really should have taken a look at for our schools and child care assistance, and that wasn't. But when you look at the executive orders, if they're successful in having the executive orders rescinded both in the House and the Senate, things like allowing the bars and restaurants to expand outdoor dining in right-of-way space, that goes away right away. You can't do that anymore. The stimulus check, right now, they're exempt from any creditors clawing back that money. That would be gone, Mike, right away.
Right.
Allowing out-of-state doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals to come help, that's gone out the door. Notices for meetings and different things like that. I'm sure Commissioner Slavik and Mayor Mary would have something to say about that. There are certain things. All of this ends right away. Late fees for licenses. Continuing education, suspending continuing education requirements for the police, firefighters, and all of that. Biggest one is the evictions, prohibiting evictions. How can we just pull this, say, done, you're gone, you're out of your house? No one's talked to the courts, Mike. No one's talked to Chief Justice Gilday to say, how are you going to handle all of these cases, these eviction cases right now? What's your plan for the landlords? What's your plan for the tenants? So it's very easy. And again, I could go on. There's federal exemptions and waivers for human services things, suspending different authorities for Medicare, Minnesota Care, Medicaid, MFIB, which is our welfare program here in Minnesota, price gouging, and protection of health conditions and workplace safety concerns. So any of those would go away right away. It would be very simple if the Republicans in the Senate would show some leadership and put together a plan that drew down all those executive orders, because most of those you don't need health data to determine. What you need is some political will to sit down and talk and resolve problems for Minnesotans like we're supposed to be doing. Instead, it's finger pointing and partisan crap that is not going to get us anywhere, and it needs to stop. And, we've had barely any leadership on the federal level to help navigate this pandemic. Now that's coming true with the vaccines and vaccinations. So hopefully with the new administration, that will change. But we've got to get this virus under control. With that being said, the numbers are looking great. They are looking great. They are going in the way we want them. I think that my expectation is that the governor will be opening things up here in the next week. Whether he announces it this week or next week, I don't know. I'm not privy to any of that information, but the numbers are justifying opening up more. I think you're going to see some, when it comes to youth sports, one thing that I've been working on is I don't really understand how you can have a mask and play hockey and a mouth guard. And I've been working on that, and I think we're going to get some clarification soon on that for our kiddos that want to play hockey. So, again, Mike, it's very easy for people to come on to your radio show and to write things and say, like, just open up. The governor is this, that, and the other thing. But there are real people's lives at stake when you just immediately withdraw these executive orders.
It has to be done sensibly, yes.
Yes, yes, and I hope that people understand that. And that's what the governor's calling for. That is what I'm asking for. If I was running the joint, I would have had a plan. I wouldn't have let him go through this alone. But they just want to use it for political ear, and that's unfortunate. And it doesn't help Minnesotans. They don't expect that. They expect us to work and get our job done, and that's what I intend to do. I'm going to work across the aisle. I'm going to work on making sure our schools are fully funded and our kids are back in school and back in the classroom where they belong. I'm going to make sure that we're, you know, having affordable, accessible access to affordable health care. Mental health is going to be a key top priority for me this session. Making sure we have a clean environment and holding people accountable that are polluting our water with PFAS, and making sure we have a sustainable environment for future generations and that we can create jobs out of new policy that are good for the environment. Also, we're going to continue to have discussions about our community, and making sure they're safe for everyone. So, I mean, I think we have a lot of work to do. I'm looking forward to rolling up my sleeves and getting it done. I look really forward to coming on your show every week and giving folks an update. And I encourage people to email me and ask to get on my email blast. I do that about every week. I encourage people to follow me on social media, on my Facebook page or Twitter. I think a very good job of getting information out when I receive it. I also have a podcast called Carla Talks. We're going to start that back up this week again, and be giving updates. So there's multiple ways to stay in touch with me this session, because I want to hear from you into how we need to meet the needs of Minnesotans.
Excellent. And once again, for our scheduling and for our airtime, Carla will be on Fridays during the session. We'll be talking with her, and she'll be giving us an update. I do need to call the time here at this point, Senator Bigham. I appreciate your time this morning, and I wish you all the best during the session, and I look forward to checking in with you on Fridays.
Thank you very much, Mike. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. You are tuned to Community In-Depth on KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7.
I'm just a bill, yes, I'm only a bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill.
It's not easy to become a law, is it?
No.
But how?